Can I get a good amen? Is summer over? I hope so. I hope so. Boy, I loved it this morning. Well, let me give you an update on our move to Gainesville. If that's a surprise to you, go back to September 9th and watch the video. I go over all the details. Here's a picture of the building. It's 4251 Southwest 13th Street. The cost of just materials and some of the construction work that we have to have done is $55,000. So that was our goal to raise. There's also been some additional costs, some deposits we didn't count on. But $55,000 will get the work done inside. So far, you all have pledged $17,030. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And we've received $9,000 of that. So amen for that. Praise God. So you don't really need to fill out more pledge cards. It's just we've signed the lease. We have the building. As soon as enough comes in to do the first thing we're going to do is we have to pull a permit to change that, pull that black stuff off of the outside and change that. So as soon as enough comes in, that'll be the first thing we do. And then when enough comes in, we'll go into the second phase. And that's when we're going to do a lot of the work ourselves. We're not ready to do that yet. But be marking some days off your calendar, be saving up some holidays at work, chalking off some Saturdays, and we're going to do a lot, and we're going to get that ready. Our goal is to be in there by January 1st, maybe even by Christmas. Amen? So there's something that Jordan Williams came up with this idea. How do I share this with some friends and family that I believe would be excited? So we have it now on Facebook. It's something on Facebook called GoFundMe. So that's something you can share, and it's already up, and there's a short video on there. And I noticed as soon as we put it up, donations started coming in. Some people I never even heard of. I don't know who they are. One of my relatives in South Florida donated. And then Friday, I noticed there was a donation from Garrett Bungart. And I don't know if you remember him. I'm thinking, he's like 10 years old. Gave a $1,000 donation to our building fund, and I'm thinking, he's only 10, but what I forgot was they moved to Tennessee like 8 years ago, and he actually kept growing. He actually got older. He's not 10. How many, you know, when you haven't seen somebody in a while, especially a kid, you just remember them where they were the last time you saw them. And so I'm like, Garrett, where does he get $1,000? Anyway, he's in the Army, and he saw it. I communicated with him this week, and he said, man, Victory Church is my church home. He said, it's the only church I've ever really known. He said, I came to know Christ through Victory Church. It means so much to me. When I saw you all were taking a step of faith, he said, I wanted to take a step of faith with you and give you $1,000 to make that move. Isn't that awesome? Never underestimate, you know, like children's ministry. He said, your church impacted my life forever. I am who I am today because of being in Victory Church, in kids' church. So don't ever think if you're working in the nursery or preschool or kids' church, you know, it's babysitting. It's not. It's life change. And Dan, I got another one for you. Okay, I knew that we couldn't move the copier. You know, we lease a copier for the church. I remember in the lease, we can't move it ourselves, that you had to have them move it, and there was a cost involved. So I told Pastor Mike, when the guy comes to service the copier, ask him about that. So he did. The guy was here, I think, Wednesday, and the guy said, well, I'll find out. And he came back the next day to finish his work on the machine. He said, we're moving to Gainesville. What's it going to cost to move the copier? And the guy came back, and he said, well, I talked to my boss. It's cost $400 to move the copier. He said, but I talked to my boss, and we're going to move it for you for free. We're going to make this a donation from the company to the church. And then he said, my wife and I prayed about it last night, and we want to help you move to Gainesville. We're going to make a donation, and here's a check for $2,200. I'm talking about the copier repair guy, not the owner. The copier repair guy. When I heard that, I thought, that's God. Yes. That's God is in this. God is moving. I mean, whoo, is that something? Yes. God wants us in Gainesville. I am excited about that. If you want to know how to use Facebook, you can see Pastor Mike afterwards. He'll show you how to do that. You just share it. you know, it's already up, and all you do is share it on your timeline. I don't know the correct words. I know how to do it. And it's good if you keep reposting it, because it'll keep popping back up. So if you're not familiar, if you know what that means, do it. And if you don't, see Pastor Mike. He'll explain it to you. Amen? Isn't that excited? That's exciting. So, all right, there are sermon notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers would love to give you one if you need an extra one. You know, and we have a great church. Did you know that? I mean, I love the people of Victory Church. You all are so generous. You all serve. You all give. And you're kingdom-minded. I love being the pastor of people that love God. Amen? All right, we need some notes over here. The title of my message is The Self-Made Man. How many of you ever met somebody that considered themselves, how many of you heard that term, self-made man? How many of you ever met somebody, they considered themselves the self-made person? And it's not just men. I'm not using that in a gender-specific term, but mankind, self-made man or self-made woman. We've heard that term a lot. Maybe you've even talked to people that's how they present themselves and represent themselves. You know, I did it myself. I made it, you know, I'm the self-made person. If you know someone like that, I would like to meet them. I would like to meet that self-made person. Yeah, I would like to meet the person who placed themselves in their mother's womb. I'd like to meet the person that designed their own fingerprint and eye print and voice print, that chose their gender and their hair color and their eye color. I'd like to meet the person that fed themselves as a baby, created their own milk. I'd like to meet the person, this self-made person that changed their own diapers for many, many months. At 3 months, they clipped their own toenails. I'd like to meet this person that chose their gifts and talents and ability, that chose the place that they would be born, the time that they would be born. I'd like to meet the person that taught themselves to read and write and speak and put a roof over their head, made a way for themselves in this world. I'd like to meet the person that designed their own human heart with 4 chambers and its own electrical system and its own memory bank. I'd like to meet the person that designed their lungs full of alveoli, little sacs that are capable of extracting oxygen molecules from the complex combination of molecules in the air and take them and pass them on into the solution in the blood, and at the same time remove carbon dioxide from the blood and pass it in. I'd like to meet the person that designed the hepatic system and the antibody system within the body and the liver and the organs and the bones and the structure. I'd like to meet the person that designed the human brain and its complexity and the optic nerve. I'd like to meet that person that claims to be self-made. I'd like to meet that person. But what I've seen in my life is that sightings of this person are more scarce than sightings of the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot, because they're not out there. Now, there might be a Loch Ness Monster. There might be a Bigfoot. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a sighting of Bigfoot in Gainesville just a couple weeks ago in the University of Florida stadium just before the LSU game. And I got a picture of him right here. He was in the stadium right there rooting the Gators on. I'd like to meet this person because they don't exist. They don't exist. Bigfoot might exist. Loch Ness might exist. But the self-made person doesn't not exist. Now, I could prove that scientifically. Scientists would say, no, someone cannot self-exist, create themselves. No, you know, we're still trying to figure out the human body, how as complex as it is, it was already made, and we have it, and we're still trying to figure out how it works. So science would tell you that no person ever created themselves, but also we could look to the Word of God to understand where we came from. And the psalmist said it in Psalm 139. It says this, speaking to God, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." That's what God formed you. God chose when you would be born, where you would be born, your gifts and talents and abilities, your personality type. Verse 14, he says, I'll give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. You see the problem with thinking that I'm self-made? Then it's my works. I did this. I did this all for myself. But David, David was a mighty man. I mean, if somebody could claim that they did something with their lives, and I'm not saying we shouldn't develop, or we're supposed to develop, but if anybody could say that they were self-made, David, I mean, he killed Goliath. He killed the 10,000s. He was a mighty man, but look at his heart right here is to acknowledge, everything I have, I got from you. My frame, wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well, he says. Your soul needs to know very well that you did not make yourself. Not only is that humbling and throwing the honor over to God, but it also takes a big burden off of your life. I want to talk about that today. Because when you think you're self-made, then you're also self-sustaining. You are the one that has to keep it going. And that's a bigger burden than any human being can bear. It's better to be like David. He says, my soul knows very well that my existence depends on you. It's better for your soul to defer to God's greatness than your own greatness. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me. Do you know God's got a book of your life? When as yet there was not one of them. Everything that you have, God gave you. You have a free will, but even God gave you that free will. So even though our days are numbered, our days are written, there's things that are ordained by God to take place, you still, within that context, they can exist simultaneously. You still have a free will. You have the ability to choose good and evil, right and wrong, which way to go, to follow God or not follow God, obey God, disobey God. So you have a free will, but you were created. Even that free will was given to you by God. And yes, we have work to do. We have to develop the things that God's given us. But the only way that we can develop is because God's given us the ability to develop. He's given us the wherewithal. He's given us the raw materials to work with. We choose what we do with what he gave us, but never forget that it's from God. If God gave you a voice, it has to be developed. But you can't add what God left out. People are gifted in different areas. What we do with what he gave us is up to us. Our life was God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to God. But never think that you made yourself, that you're self-made. It's not possible. There is no self-made man. There is no self-made woman. We were all created by God in his image, and we were given certain things, and some things were left out. There's things that are left out of our life that, you know, that was God's choosing. You know, I always, you know, see preachers that can sing and play instruments, and I can't do that. It's left out. I have to work with what I have. I take the gifts that I have. I took accordion lessons for 7 years. I couldn't play with two hands. I still can't. I can do one song. It's not a gift that I have, so I give up on developing a gift that you don't have. Work on the ones that you have, and don't be jealous of people that have other gifts. Work on, you're responsible for what you have. It's like the parable of the talents that Jesus told. He said he gave one guy one bag of gold, one he gave two, and one he gave five. Now, the guy with two could have been all proud because he had more than the other guy, but he could have been all upset that he didn't get five and could have spent the rest of his life complaining that why did he get five and he only got two. But no, he just took what he had and he did what he could, and the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And that's all you and I can do, is take what we've been given. Don't complain about what we didn't have or that we're better than somebody else. We're only responsible for what we do with what we've been given. You're the best you there ever was. Make it better. We're born an original. Don't die a copy. Too many people go through life wishing they were like somebody else. No, you can't be somebody else. You weren't given the stuff to be somebody else, but you were given the stuff to be you. And if we work on it, we can be the best you that you could ever be. You can develop yourself to the highest potential. Use it for God's glory. Acknowledge where it came from, develop it, and give all the glory back to God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's very important that the glory goes back to God. It's nothing wrong when somebody praises you or thanks you for doing something. You know, I know sometimes it's like, oh, you know, you can either be egotistical, yeah, I did that, or you can have a false humility, oh, no, but or you could find the right balance, which is, thank you for saying that, I appreciate that, and then you say in your heart, thank you, Lord, because you know, without you, I'd be nothing, and just defer the glory back to God, give God the glory. So what we do with what he gave us is up to us. So we have to work, we have to train, we have to develop, we have to learn. But it's even God that gave us the ability to work, develop, train, and learn, right? He gave us the wherewithal. He gave us the resources to think, to choose, to laugh, to cry, to play, to grow, sing, to dance, to worship, to pray, to give. It all came from God. It's his nature. Giving is God's nature. That's where we get that. Without him, we don't even exist. And get this, you wouldn't even know that you didn't exist. Yeah, think about that. Think about the fact that the only reason you exist is because God chose to make you. The only reason Jordan's here is God said, I need a Jordan Williams. I need, and here's everything that Jordan Williams, this is what I got to put. I need Jordan. See, you were created uniquely to solve a problem on the earth. You're here for a reason. God made you. He needed you. He created you. He chose what you would be like. And so God chose one day, he said, I'm going to make Jordan. And Jordan came into existence. But what if he didn't? What if he didn't? Jordan wouldn't be here. There'd be no Jordan. And same thing with you. There'd be no you. And you wouldn't even know that there wasn't a you. You wouldn't even know you didn't exist. Think about that a little bit. That's incredible. But the fact that you do exist means that God had a plan and a reason for you. And there's something for you to do on this earth. Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. The glory of God was that he made you unique and special and for a purpose. Now, the glory of kings is talking about you. As a king in this earth, it is your privilege to search out into and from the heart of God why you were created. To search out the mystery of you. It's a mystery. Why did God make you? It's a mystery. You can't read it in a book. I can't tell you what you're supposed to do. It's a mystery. It's hidden in God. That's why you have to have a relationship with God. That's why Christianity is a relationship, is primary relationship. Because you only figured out through walking with God, talking with God, spending time, getting close to him, and there's things you can do to get closer to him, and as you get close to him, you feel and hear his heart, and you begin to understand why you were created. And then you're able to do what you were created, and then you're fulfilled, because you're never fulfilled till you're doing what you were created to do. And we try to, and there's a hole on the inside of us that's only satisfied by doing what we're created to do. And when we're not doing what we're created to do, we shove other stuff in that hole to try to fill the hole, and it kind of works for a little bit, but it's not a real fit, so we try something else, and we keep trying something else. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Keep trying relationships, drugs, money, The next challenge, occupation, thoughts, intellectual, there's no end to hobbies and skills and things. There's no end to how many things you can stick in the hole and be frustrated that it doesn't fit, because the only thing that fits in the hole is doing what you're created to do. And the only way to find out what you're created to do is to have a relationship with God. And out of that relationship, he guides you and he directs you. So Breathing is a gift. Everything you have is a gift from God, being able to breathe. If it's, you know, how do you control that? Do you consciously take every breath? No, it's a gift from God. Your heart beating is a gift from God. Some people, it's over. Can you keep it beating when it's, no, it's a gift from God. The spirit that's inside you, the God spirit, his spirit, it's a gift from God. Think about your life. What's your story? Look back on your life and you'll see how often and in how many ways God has been at work in your life. Probably most of us could tell stories how that if just 1 second or 1 inch, I wouldn't even be here today. How many would say that you could say that if it had not been for God moving in this circumstance, you wouldn't even be here today? God is at work in your life. If you look back on your life, I look back on my life. First of all, he gave me life. Second, there was when I was 10 years old, I almost drowned in Lake Wahlberg, and an angel rescued me. There was another time when I was 20 years old, I was about to kill myself, and an angel stopped me. And then not too long after that, the Lord appeared to me in my house and spoke to me. If it had not been, that's my testimony. And then how many times he healed me? He healed me of things that I couldn't fix. He touched me with his presence. He delivered me from demons that I had. He guided me through some treacherous times in my life. He called me. He protected me. He gifted me. He anointed me. He's listened to me. He's been patient with me. He puts up with me, and he'll never give up on me, and he'll never give up on you. He's been with you. He's done the same things for you, hasn't he? He's done all those things. And not only that, he believes in me. Sometimes I wonder why he still believes in me, but he does. And you know what? God believes in you. And God believes still every day. He says they're going to fulfill their destiny. They're going to make it. They're going to finish to the end. They're not going to give up. They're not going to quit. They're going to train. They're going to develop. They're going to learn. They're going to be everything that that's the way God looks at us. I've heard thousands of prophecies in my life. God speaking through the prophetic gift into people's life. I've never heard one prophecy say, you're a failure, you're not going to make it. I've always heard things that are like up over and above what we could ask or think about our lives, because that's the way God always looks at us. He has these great expectations and hopes and dreams for us because he made us that way. He knows what we're supposed to be doing. But I think all of us could say, just like me, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I can pretty much tell you where I'd be. And it's not pretty. If I even still was here, it wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't be good. Nobody made you but God. And you are nobody's slave. You are beholden to nobody. Yes, we have relationships and there's obligations and stuff like that. But nobody made you but God. The only one who's going to hold you accountable ultimately is God. The only one we're going to stand before at the end is God and God alone. He made us and we owe everything to God. We owe it all to God. You are a child of God. He set you free. The question in life is, do you know him? Because that's the question. The God who made me, do I know him? What do I spend my time? What do I pursue? What do I know? There's a lot of things that every one of us in this room, we know things. We know about specific things, but do we know God? How much time do we spend learning about different subjects? And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But the most important subject you could study and learn and know is the Creator, is the one who made me, the one who brought me into existence. So I have a question for you to think about this week. Do you know him? Do you know the one who made you, saved you, healed you, delivered you, kept you, believes in you? Do you know him? How well do you know him? How much time do you spend with him, talking to him, thanking him, walking with him? My favorite couple of passages in the Bible are about a man named Enoch. It doesn't tell us much about Enoch, but what it does I find fascinating. It says the two passages, one in Genesis and one in Hebrews, says that Enoch walked with God. That's pretty much all it says about this guy, but it changes just a genealogy of so-and-so begat so-and-so, and it makes a special comment about this guy, Enoch, that he walked with God. In fact, he walked so close with God that it says God took him. So one of only two people in the Bible says they didn't die a physical death. It says that God took him and Elijah. Enoch walked with God. I want to be like Enoch. How about you? I want to be like Enoch. What do you want to write on your tombstone? What do you want to be? The mantra for your life was, you know, you could have different variations of it, but shouldn't it be that you walked with God? That was a person that walked with God. Walk with God. Read. Another way you can get closer to God is to read his love letters to you, that's what the Bible is. They're love letters. There's out of God's heart of love for us, He shows us who he is and who we are and how to successfully coexist with the laws of nature and the things that he's made. But it also reveals to us him and his heart. The more you read the word, the more you know him, the more you get to know him. How well do you know him? Look at this in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul. I think Paul knew God pretty well, don't you think? He did some great things, but he didn't just do great things. He knew God. He was close to God. Look at this passage here. Philippians 3 says this, whatever things were gained to me, talking about things that he had done, I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things, everybody say all things. That's a lot of things. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, in his book of values, there's one thing that's more valuable than anything on the earth, and it is knowing Christ. That's it. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, trash, garbage, refuse. I don't even want it. That I may gain Christ and may be, what? Found in him. Where do you want to be found? He said, if you're going to find me, you're going to find me in him. You're going to find me in Christ. He's my joy. He's my hope. He's my expectancy. He's what I want. And I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. See, the person that says there's a self-made man, there's a self-made woman, that's having a righteousness of my own, right? I did it. He says, I don't want a righteousness of my own. I want all the glory to go to God. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, verse 10, that I may know him. All that he's saying, everything he does, is that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it. This is toward the end of his life. He's already made his missionary journeys, and now he's in prison. He's writing this from prison, and he says, I haven't attained, I don't even think that I've arrived. Not that I've already obtained it, already became perfect, but I press on. At his age, at old age, he's still pressing on. And I want to tell you, for every one of you, never give up. Keep pressing on. No matter how old you are or how young you are, you got to keep pressing on. We have an enemy. The earth is under a curse. Sin is all around us. People will fail you. Things happen, and you got to keep pressing on. I'm going to tell you, you got to keep pressing on like Paul. You got to keep pressing on. So many things. People betrayed him. Bad things happened. God called him to go someplace, and bad things would happen even though God called him. But here's his attitude. I'm just pressing on. I'm pressing on. Whatever you're going through, I just want to tell you, press on. Keep pressing, keep pushing, keep going. There's something good. Press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Do you know he laid hold of you? Probably the fact that you're here today is a result of the fact that God laid hold of you, right? I wasn't looking for God. He came looking for me. And God laid hold of you. The fact that you're here today probably is a good indication, unless you're still searching for God, that he laid hold of you. Now, the appropriate response to that is find out, what did he lay hold of me for? Why did he lay hold of me? What is it that I'm supposed to do? If your heart's still beating and your lungs are still breathing, there's something for you to do on this planet. What am I here for? What am I supposed to do? There's something for you to do. There's a problem for you to solve. There's something ahead for you, that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. God laid hold of you for a reason, and God wants you to know him. God wants to do, you know, God wants to do life with us. Christianity is not just, it can't be about God but without God. It has to be about God, with God, for God, him working in us. God wants to do life with us. He wants to reveal his plan to us. He wants to encourage you. I have found that when you spend time with God, he doesn't beat you up. God doesn't beat you up. He encourages you. He builds you up. God, when you spend time with God, fulfillment comes into your life. Guidance comes into your life. Wisdom for the decisions of life. You make better decisions when you spend time with God. He wants to, according to the word, provide for you. Do you know him? I got two questions for you. They're in the notes if you have them. We'll put them up on the overhead. Question number one that I'd like you to think about this week, because church goes on all week, right? Church days affect the rest of your day. So we just have a short time, but I want it to affect the rest of your week. Be thinking about this week. These two questions. Number one, what have I done with what God gave me? Think about that. Ponder that. And I'm asking you to do this. What have I done with what God gave me? I think you're ahead of me there, RJ. And number two, am I thankful for what he gave me? Maybe I didn't send those to you, but question number one, what have I done with what God gave me? There it is. Am I thankful? Because it's very important to be, it's easy to be upset about the things that we don't have, and that does not bring happiness in our life. It brings the opposite. It's better to be thankful for what he did give me. It changes our whole attitude about life. Be thankful for what you have. Don't think about what you don't have. I could go around, well, God, why didn't God give me the ability to sing this great voice in heaven? I could spend the rest of my life being unhappy about that, or I can just take the giftings that he's given me and develop them, right? It's fruitless to go, you know, why did my Christina, you know my daughter Christina? She can play anything. I took accordion lessons for 7 years and I couldn't play. You could, one day when we were in the middle school, Jason Kawaja was our drummer, and we're doing practice, and he calls in, he's got the stomach bug, he can't come to church now. They've already practiced, and they're like, oh, we don't have a drummer, what are we going to do? Christina never played the drums once in her life. She says, I'll do it. And I remember, Rebecca goes, wait, you can't, she goes, I'll do it. And you know what, she never played, she got on the drums, and you wouldn't even known that Jason wasn't there. One day, the guitar player didn't come. She just picked up a guitar, started playing the guitar. One day, she says, I was looking in the paper. I said, look at this. I forget what you call it. It's one. It's like a horn that goes like this, a black thing with keys on it. It's a clarinet. A what? Clarinet? Yeah, I think it was a clarinet. I said, look at this clarinet in the paper. She goes, yeah, I think I could play it. So I went to Ocala and bought it from this guy. And in an hour, she sounds like she's been playing for 30 years. She's playing all these songs. Right? I could work 8 hours a day for 40 years. I couldn't play that song. Some people, you can't worry about what other people's gifts are. You got to take, you've been given something unique. Right? So Christina, she's responsible now for those gifts. That's a big responsibility. But I'm responsible for my gifts. You're responsible for your gifts. Don't want somebody else's gifts. Develop the ones that you've got. Look at this here. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, this has been really getting me. This verse, this passage right here. Paul, same book, Philippians, right here, a few verses ahead of what we just read, Philippians 3, 10, what we read that I may know him. He starts the chapter off like this. For we are the true circumcision, meaning, comparing it to the, you know, Old Testament Jewish, in other words, we might say true religion, true Christians, true faith, true believers. We're true believers. He's going to tell us, what is the sign of a true believer? He's going to give you three things. They're in your notes. We're going to look at them. He's going to say three things as a sign we could check ourselves. Three signs of a true believer. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Let's look at those one by one. Number one, worship in the Spirit of God. We'll go through them one at a time. Worship in the Spirit of God. We don't worship stuff. We don't worship things. We don't have a place where we worship. Oh, I got to go to Mecca, or I got to go to the temple. When we come together, we worship. But this should not be the first time, the only time during the week when you worship. When we come together, corporate worship just ought to be an expression of what we do. Every day, you worship in the Spirit of God. You don't worship stuff. You don't have to. It's not mechanical. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's a spirit. It's the Spirit of God. We worship. You worship all day long. Worship as soon as you get up in the morning. His Spirit is in you. Just begin talking to Him. You can worship in the shower. You can worship when you're driving your car. You can worship when you're cutting the grass. I love cutting my grass. That's a great time to just, you know, because it's so easy. Just follow the lines. I mean, there's things in your life, times when you can just turn it into, we worship in the Spirit of God. That's the first thing. Don't worship stuff, and don't worship yourself. Because the person that says that they're a self-made man is worshiping themselves. Yeah, it's all up to me, and that's not good. That's not good either way, when you're successful or when you fail. That's too heavy a burden to carry, and we're not designed to carry that. We're not supposed to carry that. Don't worship people, because you can worship people too. Oh, you know, this, if I just, you know, don't. If a person is not complete with God, a lot of times you think, if I just had another person, I'd be complete. That's worshiping a person. The person will never complete you. When two people get married because they're incomplete and they want trying to get life from another person, they both suck the life out of each other and they both die. When they get life from Christ and then they come together, they're getting their life from above and they have life to give and they give each other life. So get God ahead of everything. Worship in the Spirit of God. Number two, the second thing he said was that we glory in Christ Jesus. And this is where the man or woman who says that they are self-made misses it, because they glory in themselves. And that's a shallow glory. It's a wrong glory. You become an enemy of God. You become antithetical to God. You work against God. Don't even glory. Give the, you know, when we had the LSU game, they honored Tim Tebow. How many of you know who Tim Tebow is, right? Used to play for the Gators, and now he's an announcer. I think he plays baseball. He's a Christian. And you remember when he played, he always gave glory to God. Well, during that game in halftime, they inducted Tim Tebow into the Ring of Honor. Right. And I think, we got two other guys in the Ring of Honor. He's the third one. We got Steve Spurrier. Six. Okay, I only remember two, Steve Spurrier and Danny Werfel. So there's some others. You can check with Bill. He'll tell you who the other is. He got inducted into the Ring of Honor. So it's a big ceremony. It's a big celebration. Halftime. It's a big hoopla. They real thing. And then they give him the microphone. He's on camera, live TV. And they must have just only given him a short period because he made it really quick. What did he say? What do you think he said? The very first thing he says was, first of all, I'd like to thank and give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First thing, he gives glory to God. Now, that's a wise man. And you see somebody win the Super Bowl, and he's the MVP, and they give him the microphone. And sometimes they just talk about what they did. But if they're a true Christian, they understand this principle that they're not self-made, you'll see many athletes give glory to God. That's a wise thing. And people go, well, what do they mean? You know, Jesus didn't score that touchdown. No. They just wanted you to be sure that you know that they're not all that by themselves. That God gave them the hands and the feet and the strength and the ability, and they're giving the glory to God. And whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you do, give the glory to God. And this is a sign that he says of a true believer. We worship in the Spirit of God and we glory in Christ Jesus. We don't glory in ourselves. We don't glory in stuff. We don't glory in accomplishments. We glory in Christ Jesus. We defer the glory to God. If I've done anything good, thank you, Jesus. And if I've done something bad, then it's all me. It must have been me. But if I've done something good, it's got to be God, because I know me. Self-made man? No, there's no such thing as a self-made man. They don't exist. Might as well give the glory to God. He made you. And that's where it belongs. So the first thing is that we worship in the Spirit of God. The true believer worships in the Spirit of God. Number two is they glory in Christ Jesus. And number three says they put no confidence in the flesh. See, the person that says, I'm the self-made man, he's putting confidence in himself. Confidence in his flesh. And let me tell you, it cuts both ways. Because if you do something good, you think you're all that and you're not. And when you do something that doesn't work that well, or you're striving, you put too much pressure on yourself because you're putting confidence in the flesh. Listen, I saw that so much as we went through this process of signing the lease on the building. How many glad we're moving to Gainesville? And we got to, well, I knew I had a word from God because God told me to call that man. The building wasn't even on the market and told me to call that man. But in a three-month period, there must have been 20 or 30 times where it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And immediately, I would put pressure on myself. What do I have to do? But I arrested that, and I knew in this process, I didn't start this. I'm not going to finish it. I'm putting it back on you, and that took the pressure off of me. Because so many times, I felt the pressure come on me, and that's too much to bear. You will go crazy. You will kill yourself. You will unravel. You will come unglued. Your body will just destroy itself. But so many, doctors say 75% of the sicknesses they treat are psychosomatically induced, meaning it's not that they're not real, but they came from us putting too much pressure on ourselves, that your mind can generate negativity into your blood system that causes the body to get sick and weak and destroy itself. And that's why it says you put no confidence in the flesh. Doesn't mean that there's not stuff that I have to do. It means that if it doesn't go, I can only do what I got to do. The rest is up to you. And I think that's where God comes in. And I remember telling you this because when we were in these negotiations and going back and forth, I'm talking to our attorney who's a Christian. He's a man of God that I've known for some time. And at one point he said this to me. He was talking about it. And he says, well, you're a good negotiator. And I immediately said, almost reflexively, because I've been struggling with this, I said, yeah, but God's a better negotiator. You see, I could say, yeah, because I used to be a car dealer. I had my own dealership, you know, and I like negotiating. I'm good at negotiating. I can get the last penny out of a person. I can read them. I can free. In fact, I like buying cars. I love buying cars because I even like to make the dealer sweat. How many of you love to make them sweat like that? See, most people, they don't like going in there. I love it. I remember when we bought, not the car Rachel's got now, the one before that, we were in the Toyota dealer. And they were asking a fair price. I made them this real low, and we're going back and forth. And finally, I set up, got up, and I said, we're leaving. Come on, Rachel. Rachel looks at me like, I want the car. And I said, let's go. We're getting out of here. We went to another dealer. Half hour later, they call me. Oh, Mr. DeCona, we decided to take your offer. Yeah, I got them down even further after that. I love stuff like that. You know you got them when they call you. You got to be like that. So I like negotiating, but I knew I could not rely on my negotiating skills. That's why it came out of me. I said, God's a better negotiator. I didn't want it to be me negotiating with this other negotiator, who's probably better than me because he's been in real estate all his life. I need some better help. I need a better negotiator than me. And I decided when we started this, I'm putting no confidence in the flesh. And that's why it came out of me when he said, you're a good negotiator. I said, God's a better negotiator. Because you know what? If you think you're all that, there's too much pressure on you. You got to put the pressure on God. You've got to put no confidence in your flesh. Put all your confidence in God. Rely on God. So, you know, and just even raising this money, you know, it's like $55,000, you know what? I'll give it to God. Guess what? I can't raise $55,000, but God can. Look at that. He had the copier repairman give us $2,200. That's what God can do. See, I would have never thought of the copier. I would have never thought. Let's call the copier repairman, see if he can give us a couple thousand dollars. I wouldn't have thought of that. I think of some other things, but God knows how to do it. When we cast our cares on Him, He will supply for you and answer your problem in a way you couldn't even dream of. He'll come out of nowhere. He'll do it for you. Put all your confidence in God, because you know what? He's going to see you through. He hasn't brought you this far to let you down. He who began a good work in you, and it's a good work. The fact that you're here today, God began a good work in you. And the Bible says, He who began a good work in you shall complete it. Yeah? You just say that to yourself. He's not going to let me down. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish the work. It's a good work. God will complete it. He's going to see you through. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's going to see you through. Say, you're going to make it. Don't rely totally on yourself. You see, you got to rely on God. It's great to have people. It's great to have family. But listen, I found the very person that you think you could always trust, sometimes they'll let you down. Sometimes the person you thought you could trust will stab you in the back. You know what? You just got to go on. It's okay. Because we were not designed to be reliant upon people. We were designed to be reliant on God, and He will never fail you. He will never let you down. Thank God for friends. Thank God for people. Thank God for each other. Thank God for teams. But whatever team or people you have in your life, it is possible. People are not perfect. You've let people down, and people will let you down. God will never let you down. God will never let you down. He'll never fail you. Put your faith, put your hope in Him. Put your confidence in God. Trust Him and pursue Him and know Him like never before. Think about your day. Think about your time. How could I know Him better? How can I get closer to God? Invest in God. It will always be worthwhile. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We love You. We love You so much, Lord. You've been so good to us. You've seen us through thick and thin. You've helped us. You brought us up out of the miry clay. You've forgiven. You've washed us and cleansed us. You gave us a new start, and it's new every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. You are so awesome, God. I am so not awesome. I make so many mistakes. I fail so many times, and You're always faithful. You're always there. You always believe in me. You're always there for me. You're always positive. Thank You, Lord. Help me to just get up one more day and just keep on going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I believe He'll take us places we never dreamed of. We just trust in God. Father, I pray for everybody here to just get our hope set on You. If we've been let down by people, just wash it from our minds and our hearts, and all the hurts and all the stains of people letting us down. Let us just forget about that so that we can have a clean slate to look at You and say, You will never let me down. You'll never fail me. You'll never forsake me. And right now, with every head bowed, I got an important question for you, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. It's a very important consequence to not be sure about. You might be here today. You say, well, I made the decision for Christ years ago, but today I'm not where I want to be. And I really don't know God the way I want to know Him. And I'm making a decision today to get closer to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If today is a new day for you, a new start, I'm going to pray for you. Just slip up your hand real quick so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. All right, pray this prayer with me. Everybody help Him out. Dear Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised You from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever You lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. I pray that this week you'll know God better. You'll get closer to God this week than you ever have been.